Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning talking Titans. And as we do every week at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. More information can be found at InvigorateHealthTN.com. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Just another day in paradise. How are you guys today?
We are wonderful. Appreciate Good. You taking time to join us this morning. So, Corey, wasn't pretty offensively yesterday for the Titans, but they find a way to get it done in the end, 23-21 against the Saints. Your reaction to the Titans improving to 8-2 yesterday at Nissan Stadium?
Well, it was pretty much exactly the game we expected to see. I mean, we thought it was going to be a rock fight, and that's what it was. And they made enough plays. You know, getting out to the lead, making the Saints chase, that was critical. And the defense making plays. And I know Mike Vrabel's getting, you know, bored of our questions, but it seems to be the same story being produced each week just by different guys. And so it's just it's kind of an interesting scenario that's developing with the team.
So you had a great factoid, Corey. I got to give you some props for this. You know, there's a lot of annoying things that happened on Twitter yesterday and every day.
Oh,
but
I thought you were saying I was annoying a lot on Twitter, but that's cool.
No, well, you and I, actually, you got roped into the whole LaJuan screaming session
with me.
Yeah. That was fun. But your stat there, 2.5 more sacks for Simmons if he gets there, that would put him at 10. Yeah. That would make the Titans be the first Titans team to have multiple guys with double-digit sacks, and the first time in this franchise since 93, Sean Jones and William Fuller. So, first of all, how surprised/impressed are you by this pass rush? And also, what happened in the second half yesterday when it seemed to just disappear?
Well, I guess I'm not that – okay. I guess with Harold Landry, I've always thought he was capable of having a 10-sack season. I didn't think he was going to do it in 9 weeks or 10 weeks like he's done. So that surprises me, the consistency – and how prolific it is. And for Jeff Simmons, look, we've all known he's a good player and been a very good run stopper and capable of penetrating in the middle. But guys, he had 5 sacks his first 2 years combined, and he just strung together 5 sacks in 6 quarters. So if you're going to say that didn't surprise you, you're either a liar or delusional. So he's upped his game. I think also getting better play on the edges has forced the quarterback to step up more into him. And so he's gotten a couple of sacks, you know, that way as well. So, you know, yes, I'm particularly surprised to see Simmons, where it almost looks like a certainty that he's going to get there. And that's not that I didn't think he was capable, just hasn't shown it to this point. And, you know, I think teams get a little comfortable down the stretch. And Simeon played better than I expected. And I think Adeney, you know, wore down some. He had some cramping issues, and he had to play a lot of football because Bud Dupree left the game. And so I think some of those things and the whole milk the clock thing, and then the offense did not do its part late in the game to try to milk the clock. I mean, they had a couple of 3-and-outs that were just terrible. And so, you know, we say complimentary football. There was no complimentary football to finish that thing out.
Corey, have you seen enough of the running game the last couple of weeks to determine that it's probably going to be tough sledding running the ball down the stretch for the Titans without Henry, or do you factor it in DeMora as who they've played the last couple of weeks, and specifically the fronts that the Rams and the Saints bring to the table?
Well, I think that's important. I don't think you can just dismiss that. I mean, look, we all know this. The explosiveness isn't going to be there. They're not going to have the 10-yard play turned into an 80-yard play like we've become accustomed to seeing. And we knew that when he went out, no matter who they were going to bring in here, unless they happened to catch lightning in a bottle with somebody, that was going to be the case. But you might have just played the two best run defenses in the entire National Football League. And in my concern going into this one on Saturday, when I learned Julio Jones wasn't going to play, is, wow, well, that puts everything pretty much on A.J. Brown then. And so if you would have told me before the game that A.J. was going to catch one pass, I would have told you it's going to be a long day. And I don't know how they were going to win that football game unless the Saints just turned it over a bunch. So, you know, the one turnover was huge. They're going to have to run the ball better. I think they will run the ball better, especially if they can keep their entire offensive line out there. What they do, 69 and 65 yards. So it wasn't like they ran for 20. It wasn't great. But against those teams, I didn't expect them to go out for a buck 30. So it wasn't surprising.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing you have to keep in perspective is who they have played. It's been really bad timing for an offense. Hey, you lose Derrick Henry, and let's see what you can do with that run game. And you get the Rams Saints, but of course you also still won those games. Pretty remarkable. So speaking of the offensive line, well, let's just get into that Taylor Lewan screaming, Corey.
Sure.
I mean, I think we can all agree he's going to be one of those players, a very tough decision ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, the decision also means, okay, then what is your answer if you do move on from him? But how do you think he's playing? I know yesterday he had the cramps, came back, Davenport beat him for a sack. When he has played lately, how do you think he's played?
I think largely he's played pretty well. I mean, at Indianapolis, he played a great football game. But unfortunately, availability is a big part of it. You know, the problem is the Titans don't have another Taylor Lewan to plug in there. I mean, so like you said, you know, whether you want to play some this year or next, you got to have another really good player to plug in there. And, you know, I think fans have gotten spoiled by how well Cimbrello and Quisenberry did in his place in the past. And you've seen how it can look when he's not out there, with Lamb getting run over a couple of times and the struggles of Bobby Hart. You know, so you need a quality football player. Now, you know, look, you can tell Taylor knows I need to be out there and wants to be out there. And, I mean, he knows the math and he knows the business. And so he knows that his inavailability on a week-to-week basis makes him more expendable along with his low dead cap number next year. And so, you know, I'm sure, you know, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to get out there and play. And, of course, he wants to be there for his teammates to win games because, you know, I there was one man on Twitter, and he was right. You know, Taylor Lewan did give up a sack. He gave up a sack over the entire game, where Kendall Lamb gave up a sack in his one play or whatever it was he played. So, you know, the ratio was not quite the same there. And like, if you want to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, you need Taylor Lewan out there. If you've got somebody else there, it's going to be much, much more difficult to make that happen. And you can not like Taylor Lewan all you want for whatever he does or does not do on buses or on the internet or whatever. The point is, when he gets out there, more times than not, he's a very good player. And that's all that should really matter to you at the end of the day. Is availability frustrating? Yes, it is. But he doesn't want to be hurt. He doesn't want to miss time. I don't think Taylor Lewan doesn't prepare. I think he does prepare. I think he's 31 years old, or 30. He's right up there. He's played a lot of football. He's coming off a major injury. And it's hard sometimes, and I'm not sitting here making excuses for him. I'm just saying that's reality, and you can either get mad about it or you can just hope he can stay out there because he's your best chance to get where you want to go.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, going back to the pass rush, obviously Bud Dupree leaving the game yesterday with an abdominal injury. We don't know the specifics on that, but Joe and I were talking about earlier, anytime you hear abdominal injury, that does not sound fun. So if he's out for a long part, the foreseeable future here, how concerned are you as to what that could do for the pass rush overall?
Well, I am concerned because, I mean, as you saw, you know, the last couple of weeks, his play was getting better, and what was also getting better? The overall defense. I mean, he was a big part of the reason that whole group was performing better because he was giving them some really strong snaps on the other side opposite of Harold Landry. And so it's a significant loss. And it puts more pressure on Ola Adeniyi and Derek Roberson. Is Roberson back?
He's still on IR, right? And I don't figure that out. I'll figure that out. Yeah, I think he can be back.
Okay. So they've already cut Simon, right? I mean, I know they can bring him back. But, you know, it's just a position that they've been struggling to put the bodies out there. And, oh, my gosh, what if they hadn't struck on Ola Adeniyi, who they signed to be a special teams player? They'd really be in trouble. Now, fortunately, the schedule softens up a little bit. As I've said, they don't have to win all these games. They just got to win enough of them. And so, you know, there's three of them that you like their chances in, and that would get them to, 11 wins right there. And then you hope they scrape out a couple more, and you hope that that's enough to get you over the top for that one seed and give Henry another week to come back. But, you know, it is a concern because, I mean, I know they've absorbed every injury, but if they take another injury on that front, it's hard to see how they overcome it.
And that was going to be my question, Corey, is what you think gets the one and who you think is the primary, you know, competitor for that in the AFC at this point.
Well, let's see. The Bills are sitting on three losses. The Patriots are sitting on four. What's over in the AFC North? The Steelers and the Ravens?
Just a mess.
Ravens at three losses, Steelers at three, and a tie tossed in there yesterday, too.
Yeah, and I think the Steelers are kind of pretenders, personally. And when I look at the Ravens, I know Porth called them a fraud. I think they are kind of fraudulent. They should have a loss to the Lions. I mean, they should. The Lions won that game. And they had that miracle comeback in Indianapolis, and they're the way the Ravens look to me is like if Lamar doesn't just play crazy good, they're in trouble. And so, you know, he's capable of that at any time, but I don't trust the Ravens. I still think the Bills and the Chiefs at the end of the day, if the Chiefs can continue what they started last night, and I think the Bills are still among the most complete teams in the league, you know, if they get hot down the stretch, I don't know what their schedules look like, but those teams would be the ones that would concern me the most at this point.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a great day.
Absolutely, you as well. Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com. For more information, we'll come back. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And a big win yesterday against the Saints, 23-21. The final, the Titans improved to 8-2, remain in first place in the AFC. And Joe, a big day yesterday from Marcus Johnson, 5 catches, 100 yards. This comes just I think a day after Julio Jones goes to the IR. So Julio Jones going to be out for a minimum of the next 3 games. Sets up kind of nicely with the bye week coming right then as well. So hopefully that's enough time for Julio Jones and the hamstring to get healthy. I honestly, with the way it's gone so far, I was kind of happy to see them just make the decision to say, you know what, we're going to put Julio on the IR and we'll see if that's good enough to get him healthy. If you told me right now that he would be healthy down the stretch into the playoffs, but that means he's not going to play but in like 2 more regular season games, at this point, with them sitting at 8-2, I don't think I would care that much. I'd be like, okay, sounds great, get him healthy.
So are you suggesting that he doesn't come back until the second week of the playoffs?
No, that is not what I'm suggesting.
Well, you said bye.
Oh, my God.
Bye week. Idle week.
Anyway.
Is there going to come a point when you accept you're wrong on this? Or?
No, because I'm not. So
Joe's
no,
never
I will
wrong.
Not.
Okay.
No, not true, not fair. Admit being wrong all the time. Come on.
Okay. Your opinion on this
I
is
never
cheeks.
Admit being wrong.
No, you would.
Jeez.
I feel like you admit being wrong, but then you counter it by saying.
No, how?
Well, I believe this way.
This could be a self-reflection segment for Rex Road here.
Okay.
Like Michelle, you say
just
you're
calling
wrong.
Out your
truth
faults.
Is coming out now.
But listen, we all love you, Joe.
That's, you know what? I'm glad your mom texted you and got mad at you for not knowing ZZ Top. Now.
Anyway, right. Your reaction
I will try to be better.
Julio Jones going to the IR.
Human. Yeah, Julio Jones going to the IR. It's the right move. It's the right move. You let Todd Downing just deal with who he has, and of course you hope that stays the same. But you just take him out of the equation. I mean, you build more things for Marcus Johnson based on how he played yesterday. And try to get the tight ends going, and you try to get the running game going, and you're not going to be playing the same level of defensive front for really, I would say, the rest of the year. You're not going to see fronts that give you more problems than the Rams and Saints that you just saw. I mean, obviously the Steelers would be a very good one. The Pats, very stout defense. But get that run game going to some level of competence. And then you have that all that time off. For him, you have the week off after New England, and if you can get him for the last five games and in the playoffs, which, I mean, sounds kind of like a fantasy at this point, like a fever dream, but it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot to basically shut him down for a month, and I think that would give you plenty of time to have him weaved back into the offense and get things rolling toward the playoffs if he can stay on the field.
But one thing
– it's worth trying at this point because the whole just –
Oh, yeah.
In and out, stop, start, fit starts. It's just not working.
It is not working. And one thing that you were absolutely right about is Marcus Johnson. Big game yesterday, 5 catches, 100 yards, making the most of his opportunity with A.J. Brown. To Corey's point from the last segment, like, you know, without Derrick Henry and Julio Jones, if you would have told me heading into that game yesterday that A.J. Brown's going to finish with 1 catch for 16 yards, I would have said, oh, boy, this is probably not going to go all that well for the Titans. And yet here they are. They win the game. Marcus Johnson has 100 yards receiving, and, you know, it's not certainly the script and the way you draw it up if you're Todd Downing in the Titans, but you find a way to get it done once again.
I mean, Tannehill's 19 for 27, 213, a touchdown. 4 drops for sure in that game. I think 1 for AJ, 1 for Swain. Well, McNichols dropped a touchdown, so he should have had 2 touchdown passes. And if that's the case, I guess if everything else goes the same, it's 23-6 Titans. Early in the third quarter, and maybe, you know, maybe that changes things. I don't know. But you got 100 yards from Johnson, but you just sprinkled it around. I mean, look how many guys caught passes. You're talking about 11 players caught passes yesterday for the Titans.
Including Des Fitzpatrick.
He has 1 for 1 yard. Peterson has 1 for -1 yard. McNichols, 1 for 1 yard. Pruitt, 1 for 2 yards. Ferkser, 1 for 2 yards. That's pretty amazing, actually.
Rodgers, 1 for 9 yards.
you get your obligatory Westbrook Akina makes a big catch for you, along with catching the onside kick. 1 for AJ Brown. You know, you had the explosive 50-yarder to Marcus Johnson. You had the really nice throwback play to Deontay Foreman that was based on knowing the Saints are going to have all eyes on A.J. Brown. You take their eyes to the right for what looks like a little swing pass to him, bring it back. There's 39, so there's 89 of your yards on those two plays. But Swaim continues to be a guy who catches the ball in traffic. I mean, his hands have been really good this year. 4 catches, 26 yards, a couple key ones, a 16-yarder in there. And just cobbling it together. I mean, Tannehill, you have one – like pass, I don't know what happened on that play, but like he led.
Well, he's roughed.
He was roughed, but he led the pass led the defender perfectly for a pick. I mean, you wipe that away, and I'd say that was an excellent day of football from Ryan Tannehill. All things considered, also by the way, non Chipotle related, not Chipotle Rhea, but stomach bug bothering him, and he said he felt like crap yesterday.
Well, to that point, Indy Ben texting in. You may have already discussed this, but from what Gene Steratore and many others saw, the incorrect roughing the passer call certainly played a big factor in the game and resulted in a 7-point swing. At what point will the NFL allow challenges of flags being thrown? They seem to happen regularly as of late.
Never.
I don't think so. You think the – I mean, they did take a look at the you can throw a challenge flag for pass interference a couple of years ago. You think they take a look at the roughing the passer flag?
No, but I still actually – you know, I honestly – I would be in favor of like the PI still being challengeable just on the off chance – that you had a situation like you had when you had the wrong team in the Super Bowl because of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Saints get a receiver just bludgeoned where we can all see, and it's just didn't throw the flag.
Right. And, well, and to the point, the next year, I mean, Vrabel got to the point where he wouldn't even throw the flag.
Which is fine.
It has to be totally egregious to overturn it, which I'm cool with, though.
Exactly. Like, I actually like how they did it. It's basically like, we're not going to overturn these unless it's just end-of-the-world stuff. But that's fine. I'd rather have that in as a possibility. But, no, I don't think we're ever going to get to the point where all these other calls can be challenged. And, yeah, it was a very weak ticky-tack roughing call. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This league is full of them. But yeah, it was very, and it was, I do think that it was like in real time, it looked like it was something that it actually wasn't on the replay. Hit to the head.
Ryan in Nashville texting in, Joe's been wrong about good music before. Keep cranking that Blink 182 all morning. So just more things you've been wrong about.
I've never been wrong about anything is what I believe per Michelle.
That's right. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got a lot more of your text to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Continuing to break down the Titans' performance offensively yesterday against the Saints. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is though you're going to be in a lot of games like this, and just finding a way to win at the end is kind of what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean we've proven that over the course of 3.5 years that, you know, some days they're going to be, you know, really good, and you're going to have your fastball and everything's going to be clicking, and some days it's going to be a little tougher sledding, and certainly that was the case today. But you know, they know how to win. They do know how to win, and I'm thankful for that.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the win against the Saints. Vrabel in an interesting mood yesterday after the game. Apparently growing tired of the questions.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's Groundhog Day with this team a little bit. It's good to have Groundhog Day, you know, when that means winning.
Yeah.
Just more guys getting hurt, guys you never heard of making big plays. Next man up, or what was it? What's this man's name? Yeah, there you go.
First time the Titans have won 6 games in a row since 2008, when, of course, they started the season 10-0. So pretty good stretch here for the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, okay. So I saw someone tweeted yesterday their first time winning 6 in a row in 21 years, and I was like,
that is not
really?
True.
No. Yeah, 10-0.
Yeah, they start 10-0
in
08.
That would include
that's more than 6.
Win streak, right, yes. Still, that's a long time.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of first time since 2008 in the last couple of years with this team.
Adam in Portland texting in, need more power on offense to get past the daunting Texans defense featuring stars such as, well, I don't know anyone on their team, Titans by 17.
Wow. Zach Cunningham.
Here we are on Monday, already disrespecting the Texans. Haven't even got out of the Saints game yet, already disrespecting the Texans.
This will be, I mean, it's the first time in a long time. And the last time was when they were going to play the Jets, that the Titans are playing an opponent that is not good, that everyone knows is not good, and that everybody's going to say the Titans should blow this team out. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Last time, that did not go well. The Jets, who what happened yesterday? Would like the Bills go in there and beat them 45
yeah,
to
just totally destroyed them
to nothing? Yeah.
Apparently, they decided to just not cover Stephon Diggs yesterday.
Yeah,
good call.
Good for you to have him on your fantasy team. You really needed him against me.
Yeah, I did. Jim on the text line, we will have a game where the calls go against us, but this is 2 weeks in a row where we were saved by the Zebras. Ryan Tannehill fought through his illness yesterday, but noticed that even most of his completions were a little off, mostly behind the receiver. Also noticed he didn't run much when it looked like the naked boot would have been a good call. Great show, guys. This is coming from Jim. I hear what Jim's saying. I wouldn't necessarily say that the Titans were saved by the Zebras against the Rams.
Thank you, Jim. And to that point, Ryan Porth on our personal text line says, everyone's making a big deal about roughing the passer call, which was bad, but Byard was called for a hold in the fourth quarter that was horrible at the same end of the field. That Jerome Boger crew is awful. I can't disagree with any of that. That was a very ticky-tack call, pretty big call, too. And, yeah, Boger, that's a bad crew.
It's a bad crew. Somehow they didn't screw it up as much as I thought they would yesterday, even though you asked Saints fans today and they did.
And if you want to talk about – yeah, it's true. They've had worse days. And if you want to talk about the balance of bad officiating, again, Jalen Ramsey should have been out of the game in the second quarter, and they're like, no, actually, that was unnecessary roughness.
Did you see the explanation the league came out with on that, too? Like, they put some video together. I don't even remember who's in charge of the video they put together. But it was like Jalen Ramsey was assessed a personal foul penalty on his first penalty. It wasn't an unsportsmanlike conduct, which was corrected later in the game. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, yeah, it was corrected after you realized that would have been kicked out. I mean, just the audacity of the NFL on that explanation.
I mean, they said unsportsmanlike out loud. It was in the official box score,
yeah,
written down. But sure. So you can find usually plenty of ways your team got screwed, and the opponent can find those too.
Andrew on the text line, I want Todd Downing to burn that play call sheet that had the idiotic fade route to Aaron Brewer play that got intercepted. Never, ever, ever call that play again. It's coming from Andrew on the text line.
Is that the problem on that play? Andrew Brewer didn't high point the ball? Is that?
Hey?
Wait, Andrew Brewer? Did we just say Andrew Brewer?
You said Andrew Brewer.
Joe with the names today.
Yeah.
Golly, man.
Juwan Johnson, who did play in this game.
Yeah, at least I have that right. I don't know an Andrew Brewer, though. Andy Brewer, anyone?
Coy and Clarksville texting in. The resiliency this team shows with the next man up concept is amazing, but hopefully we can heal up. The bye week is crucial right now. Imagine this team if we were fully healthy. It is tough to imagine the Titans being fully healthy, which I don't know that we'll see at any point this year.
No, and fully healthy, no one is at this time of year. No one is in the playoffs. And, you know, there's probably at least another couple injuries in the AFC that are going to be, you know, season-altering injuries for somebody. I mean, that's just how the nature of the game. I will say the Titans are due some luck somewhere along the way.
You would think.
I mean, it's been pretty remarkable.
What did you think of the rushing attack? Obviously, we brought this up with Corey Curtis. You've taken on the Rams and the Saints. Those are two defensive fronts. Do you think that Foreman has separated himself enough at this point from Peterson where he should be getting the lion's share of the carries, or do you expect them to basically handle it the way they've been handling it, and that is, you know, just kind of running back by committee? Yesterday, Foreman with 11, Peterson with 8, McNichols with 4.
I think Foreman definitely looks. I mean, McNichols here and there is going to get a carry. He was never going to be the primary runner of the football. I don't know why anyone would have thought that. Whoever may have thought that. But it's Foreman or Peterson. And Foreman, I think, has absolutely looked better. I mean, still, they both end up, I mean, Foreman, 2.7 a carry, long of 6. Peterson, 2.6 a carry, long of 6. But I think there's a difference in just getting downhill quicker and power when Foreman gets behind his pads.
A.J. Brown had the longest run of the day yesterday, 7 yards. It was on a recovered fumble.
No, that was the handoff.
Oh, that was the handoff. You're right.
Yeah,
that was the handoff.
He had a little. But yeah, he had. I don't know.
How many yards did they gain on that fumble, by the way?
5, right?
Yeah. I think so.
It was a good play. It was a nice offensive play in the second half for them. I'd look more at Foreman. I mean, I think Adrian Peterson has enough of a track record and is in good enough shape that you don't give up yet. Again, let's see what happens against, like, the Texans
and
some of these defenses moving forward. But, yeah, I would say based on those two games, I think Foreman has warranted a little more work than Peterson. I don't know that Foreman has warranted, oh, this guy needs to get 20 carries here coming up. But I think 15-plus might be nice. And he gets to play his old team Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, he does. Jacob from Murfreesboro text again. Keyshawn Johnson said this morning on ESPN that the Titans are not a real 8-2 team. I understand these talk shows are designed to get reactions and clicks, but saying stuff like that is ridiculous in every regard. Should us Titans fans just stop caring what the national pundits say?
Well,
Keyshawn Johnson also said that Cam Newton was a top 10 quarterback this year.
So. Cam Newton, big win. Yeah. Big win in Arizona.
Taking down. Just who saying. Was the quarterback yesterday for Arizona?
Well, McCoy, but then he got hurt, right?
Yeah, he did. Who came in?
I don't know.
What's that dude's name?
I honestly don't know. Andy Brewer? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Andy Cheeks? I don't know.
quarterback legend.
So I didn't hear Keyshawn's entire comments. I will say that, like, honestly, like, I wrote today, like, right now this is, looks like an 8-9 or 9-8 team as they are built on the – I mean, like, they have – and that's largely – I mean, well, not largely. It's almost completely injury-related. But that would be the argument I would make is that right now they – you know, are a team that just has to find a way to get through each week and win games, but they are 8-2. They have earned being 8-2, and even losing Derrick Henry, they just beat two good teams, one really good team
yep.
on the road. You can't take it. I mean, you can't take that away from them. I also think if you look forward at what they're trying to do, they're going to need some breaks to go their way. I don't think that they have enough. And like if Bud Dupree is long-term / season ending. You know, that now you've diminished what has become the strongest part of the team here recently, which is the front four.
Preds fans, join us.
Pass rush.
Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube and Twitter pages. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. When we come back, we'll get Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances from the Titans yesterday. That's up ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rexroad, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now that's a jam from the Rolling Stones. Where'd that come from? Nice work.
Joe, I got some good music taste. Come on.
I know.
Michelle's a big ZZ Top fan, as we found out earlier today on the show.
Also, Taylor Swift's new album, Gold.
Is it?
Yeah, Joe. Have you not listened?
Caroline isn't happy with it.
Really?
Yeah.
But... okay, she would have been really young when the first version of it came out, because I was a sophomore in high school. The first version.
As I was de-skunking my house this weekend.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah.
Speaking of cheeks.
Still a process. Some skunk cheeks out there. Yeah, my wife was jamming that out all weekend. I've heard all there is to hear about Taylor Swift this weekend.
So it's kind of a redo of which album?
So she's
it's Red, isn't it?
Yeah, Red, yeah. Which came out in like 2013.
Sure.
And the label has all the rights to her music, so she can't get her music rights. So essentially she's just re-recording all the songs and being like, hey, F you, I'm going to just re-record them all so I have the music.
Interesting. So that's the one that obviously that came up before 1989.
Yes.
Joe, I said I was a sophomore in high school.
No, the album 1989.
Oh.
Not the year. Well, we've lost Michelle. She's
gone.
There's
a lot of confusion today, but it is Monday. That was the name of the album, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that was the name of the album.
That came after this album.
Yeah. I thought you meant year, obviously.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just, if someone gave you a free ticket to go see ZZ Top, would you go do it?
Yeah, I'll go to any concert for free.
You'd rock out.
Well, I would not go to any concert for free, but I'd go see ZZ Top for free, for sure.
Oh, heck yeah. I'd pay to see ZZ Top.
Exactly.
Never have.
Well, there you go.
Hey, they're coming to the Grand Ole Opry.
I know. I'm like really thinking about it here.
Joe Rexroad, your three best and three worst for the Titans against the Saints yesterday. We'll begin, as we always do, with the three best. Number one.
All right. Number one. yeah, so my best three Marcus Johnson.
Yep.
Got to start with him. You know, five catches, 100 yards, big plays. You see the speed. You see the big playability. You see why some people said this was bound to happen. People who are never wrong said this, so I've heard. People are saying that people who are never wrong said this. No, he was really good, and they're going to need him to continue that. And yeah, that should be, you know, Vrabel said it, and actually Marcus said it too after the game. You know, it's kind of like Titans wanted to see it, need to see it, but he did too. You know, confidence is still a thing, no matter how long you've been in the league or what your standing is. It can rise and fall, and that's got to be big for his confidence and for Todd Downing's confidence. And like, you know what, we got to get this guy involved. And even if and when Julio Jones comes all the way back and can stay in the lineup, if that's a pipe dream or not, I mean, Marcus Johnson should still be involved after that. So that was, I think, a huge development for the Titans. Number two, Jeff Simmons. With a couple sacks in the first half. You know, they had the Saints were driving for points down 13-6, and they go back-to-back with Saints having no timeouts that Simmons and Landry get him to the ground and basically just wipe away their chances. I mean, that took points off the board.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if their kicker was going to cash in or not, but it took points off the board.
Could have sent it into the Cumberland River.
Yeah, theoretical points off the board. He's just been outstanding. And, I mean, he's, you know, Kevin Byard is a Pro Bowl and maybe better candidate. And I think Jeff Simmons is making himself that too. And then number three, I'm going with Fulton, and I'm going to quote Mike Herndon quoting Pro Football Focus to help make this point. That's a lot of quoting. That's a game of telephone. But according to the infallible Pro Football Focus, and these are the things that I trust them on. They can count things. Christian Fulton, 43 times in coverage, targeted once. And he got a PBU. That was the play we were talking about earlier where Taysom Hill, I think, actually caught the ball and he forced a fumble. But he gets credit for a PBU on that.
Taysom Hill doesn't fumble.
Well, that's true. He's almost perfect. Perfect human. But, I mean, that tells you, you know, Sean Payton was like, we're not throwing at 26.
Yep.
And that tells you what he's become as a player here in year two.
Joe Rexroad, your three worst performances yesterday for the Titans against the Saints.
Let me start with the guy Sean Payton said, we're going to throw at that guy. Chris Jackson, rough day. And you talk about a contrast from what he did Sunday in Los Angeles, where he was at last Sunday in Los Angeles, outstanding. And he just got picked on and gave up big plays, didn't get his head turned around. You know, the big play early in the game, the Titans had given up nothing at that point. And I think it was like a 3rd and 7. And they get it isolated with Deontay Harris just blowing by him and a perfectly placed ball on the fade from Simeon. And it just went from there. And he really struggled. Now with Fulton back, you know, I think the Titans' best three is probably – well, certainly it's Fulton. I think Molden has earned himself, you know, that spot in the slot, and then, you know, Jenkins and Chris Jackson probably goes back to a lesser role with Fulton back. But yesterday he was on the field a ton, and it didn't go well.
Your second worst performance for the Titans yesterday.
Well, I'm going to go with Anthony Firkser. You know, he drew an important PI, but you're talking about one catch. You're talking about two false starts that were just – you can't have those. Yeah, you know, and it's – you just wonder – if those are some kind of a indication of just, you know, where he is in terms of just confidence slash just trying to do too much or concerned about how he's playing or how things are going or whatever. But it's been a massively disappointing season. I think the knee's part of it. He's got to step it up, though. He's on the field. He's active. He's got to step it up and play better. That was a very disappointing performance.
When you have more false start penalties than you do receptions, it's probably not a good day for you. And a couple of just killer false start penalties yesterday, too, from Firkser. Not been good so far.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. And then third, I'm going to go A.J. Brown. You know, he had a drop, but I think A.J. Brown in terms of not involved enough. So it's kind of like an A.J. Brown and then just the Titans in general. I don't know, Tannehill, Downing, whatever. You got to get him the ball more than that. I don't care if a team's bracketing him. Whatever they're doing, you know, he's fantastic with the ball in his hands, quickly, and they got a little carry for him. They had a really nice play using him
yep.
to get the throwback to Foreman. So he still was a factor. And actually, that fumble recovery was a big play by him.
Yeah, it was.
But you got to and I know that they targeted him, what, four or five times?
Four times.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a guy that you want to target him no matter what the situation is, like at least like eight times in a game, right, if possible. I mean, sometimes that's not possible. And sometimes you're going elsewhere. You know, you got a great matchup with Marcus Johnson, get him the ball, that's fine. I just think that moving forward in some of these games anyway, maybe not Sunday, but in some of these games, you're just going to have to force the ball to him more than that.
Did you think yesterday was more the case of A.J. Brown getting locked down in terms of one-on-one matchups or the bracket coverage? What did you think went into A.J. Brown basically not being a huge factor yesterday on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, no, I mean, I think the Saints played a lot of man. And they had both corners on him at different times, but they had a safety, there was a safety looking at him a lot,
yep.
it looked like. So, I mean, the coverage dictated it for sure. Throw some receiver screens, whatever the case may be, get him the ball. It's going to have to happen more, obviously.
Titans Twitter is going nuts with this, Max Kellerman, Keyshawn, J. Will response this morning of not being a real 8-2 team. There's people there's a video clip out there of it now, so people are just reacting to it.
Okay.
@Titan_DK on Twitter says, quote, Keyshawn's analysis is like his playing career. Straight cheeks. We are starting a movement here.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't care what Keyshawn Johnson has to say. Let him keep hating and sleeping. So to answer Jacob from Murfreesboro's question earlier from the text line that we never really answered, should Titans fans stop caring what national media pundits have to say? What do you think? I think you should stop caring what Keyshawn Johnson has to say, yes.
Yeah.
Since that Cam Newton take, I'm soured a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much into it. You know, but it's, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, we're sitting here talking about sports. It's fun. You know, you have some conversation, get some people pissed off. It's, you know, good for business, I guess.
I guess so. I'm just Titans. Look, the Titans fan base, they are really rallying around the disrespect element that's being played the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of Titans are disrespected talk. By the way, early preview of my power rankings, which will come out tomorrow. Titans going to be at number one. They'll be at number one. So just throwing that out there.
I was thinking about that. And I think it's just so interesting because I think you can make a strong case for them to be number one. But it's like it's how you want to define it. I think you could make a case still, and there may be some people who vote in these power rankings all over the place that are like, well, gosh, they don't have Julio Jones. They don't have Derrick Henry. They can't run the ball. They're finding a way, but what are they? Their achievement, I don't think there's any question. I think number one is right. Their current makeup. Because of injuries,
it's interesting.
You could go a lot lower.
Yeah,
just saying.
So you're gonna have the Titans at like number 9 on your power rankings?
Like 17.
Oh, okay,
you know, they're right in the middle of the league, okay. just below the half water mark. Right.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Saints yesterday. Big win over the weekend for the Predators as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.